Congressman Jim Jordan, of course, from the House Freedom Caucus. Sorry I had to subject you to that, but I thought that was a very funny caller. Hi, Congressman. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and it was a crazy call, but I liked your impression. I've not heard that before of the former speaker. That was good.
Let's talk about where we are with the health care. And I know Rand Paul had the, I guess you weren't invited to the golfing summit. It was only Rand. Freedom Caucus people are still on the you know what list.
Well, I mean, like I said yesterday, tweets and statements and blame don't change facts. And the facts are this bill is not where we told the American people we were going to be when it came to Obamacare. So let's keep working. Let's get it right. I think we can get there. I really do. I think we can actually put in place the changes to the bill that are going to bring down premiums. And that's been our focus throughout this process. And when we're satisfied that's the case, then I think you'll see us be supportive. But it's not there yet. So let's keep working to do what we told the people we were going to do.
On the issue with the Freedom Caucus, he's basically threatening primaries, and some of his aides were more explicit about this over the weekend, against some of you. Well, what is the reaction within the caucus to that? I mean, Donald Trump, even if his popularity is down, still fairly popular among Republicans, I would imagine.
Yeah, look, Laura, I've said this many times, and I say it because it's the truth, and it's what our focus is really all about. We are determined to do what the American people elected us to do, plain and simple. And now, if Justin Amash, who the latest tweet was about, if he's actually primaried, I'm going to do everything I can to help him. He is one of the most principled members of the United States Congress. And he's also a good friend, and I'll do whatever I can to help him in that election, if in fact that's what takes place. But our focus is not about who may be primaried or how that may play out. Our focus is doing what we told the American people we would do. And the problem with this legislation is the old adage, when you have good process, you get good policy, and that makes for good politics. That was not followed here. The process was a mess. When you hide the bill away, roll it out 4 weeks ago, have hearings without any witnesses, no amendments are allowed to be accepted, and then you say it's a binary choice, take it or leave it. That's not how you get to a good product, and we know that's the case, Laura, because only 17% of the entire country actually think this bill's worth approving. So let's fix it and do the right thing, and then we'll let the competition that may or may not happen in primaries, we'll let that take care of itself.
Have you been in any discussions with Rand Paul or Mike Lee about what they think is possible? You're in regular talks with them?
All the time. We're talking. I mean, sometimes my wife says, would you get that phone off your ear? So, we are, whether I'm in Washington or in Ohio, we're talking with folks all the time. So, but that's how it works, and that's our job, and we're determined to do whatever it takes to get there. But, of course we're doing that. That's the nature of the legislative process.
Get the sense that President Trump is willing to start over? I know some senators have said they'll vote for a one-line repeal bill. And do one line. Is he willing to move in that direction or not?
I sense that everyone wants to do what we told the people we were going to do. So I do sense that there is an urgency about getting this done because, I mean, this is true. We have lots of other big issues that we do need to get to. Securing the border, an issue that you've talked about a lot, and you were just so instrumental in that being a central message in the campaign. The tax reform, we know we need to get our economy moving. We need to do that bill right. There's some concerns about this whole border adjustment tax, but there's the normal thing, the budget, the appropriations process, an infrastructure bill. All that's coming in a normal legislative year, you have one or two kind of big moments. We're going to have about seven over the next 7 months. So it is important we get that all, done and done right. And it starts with this healthcare thing. So I think there's an urgency about getting this. But our focus has always been, let's do it right. Let's just not do it. Let's do it right.
Mitch McConnell said yesterday that a government shutdown will not happen this month. I think trying to calm the markets and people in general about the government shutdown. So my question is, why do we always take that off the table, though? If we have the government shutdown off the table, then how do you really move forward with any type of economic, financial, fiscal weapon in your hand to fix this
mess.
Yeah,
no, I would agree with it, with that premise that, you know, no one wants a shutdown, but I don't know why you have to say that. Everyone understands no one wants a shutdown, but what we do want to do is those put in place those policies we talked about during the campaign, what the election was about on November 8th. For example, I think one of the things that we talked about was actually building the wall and securing the border. That's going to take some finances. What better place to do it than in the upcoming continuing resolution, the budget bill that's due at the end of this month? So seems to me that would be some appropriate place to actually put that money in there and say, let's actually do what we said and start the process of securing the southern border. So that could be an issue that comes up. We'll see. No one wants a shutdown, but what we do want to do is accomplish those things the voters sent us here to accomplish.
Well, the shutdown last time didn't hurt Republicans at all. It got the media all wound around the axle, but after the government shutdown, Republicans came in 2014 and won sizably in those midterm elections.
Certainly didn't hurt us. I mean, you
right.
think about the 2000, all the back and forth that took place prior to 2010, we had a great election. Then when we actually stood up and fought for things in 2014, we had a great election. And the same thing applied on November 8, 2016. So let's not forget what the mandate was about, what people elect us to do. And if you bring it right back to the issue we started with, which is health care, 10, 14, and 16 elections were a big issue in those three campaigns was getting rid of Obamacare. So let's do this bill right and actually begin to accomplish that.
So are you all against the Freedom Caucus is against the border adjustment tax, correct?
Well, we haven't taken an official position, but I will tell you personally, I have big concerns with that because, I mean, it's a whole new tax put on the American economy. And you know how it works when you add a whole new tax revenue without getting rid of a different tax, some other tax. Over time, they both tend to go back up. So
right, but we need the money, right? When we didn't do the health care, we don't have the money. So we got it. How are we going to build this wall? I hear what you're saying, but this is a question of dollars and cents. This is not a question of anything except simple mathematics.
Well,
we don't have the money. So if we need the money to build the border wall, which we need, and that was one of President Trump's most sacrosanct promises. We don't have the health care deal. We don't have that tax savings. Well, where are we going to get the money?
Yeah. You reduce spending elsewhere, Laura. I mean,
where? We've already cut $18 billion. We're going to cut $18 billion to domestic programs. And I know the Freedom Caucus thinks you can keep cutting more, but there's no support for that either. I hear you, but there's just no support. We're not a libertarian party. The Republican Party is not a libertarian party, contrary to what Justin Amash might think.
But I get that. But we're also Republican principles are that you don't view letting people keep more of their tax dollars as somehow a cut to government. Since when did the Republican Party adopt that position? Our principles. I don't look at this idea like Washington does, where if we don't raise taxes on people, that's somehow a cut to government. That doesn't work. So let's put in place a tax code that's conducive to economic growth. We know if we will get growth over time. And more revenue will come into the treasury. So let's put in place the kind of tax code that actually is going to produce economic growth. That should be the fundamental principle, not a tax code that says, we need revenue from a new tax source. This whole new tax called the VAT.
Do you think the China conversations are have been messaged well? I mean, we have this big meeting coming up with President Xi. Apparently Tillerson and Kissinger and Jared Kushner have all paved the way for this conversation. We have the big North Korea threat, which they view as the most significant threat now to the United States. What is your sense on this Mar-a-Lago Sunshine Summit, as they're calling it?
Well, I think it's fine for and proper for the administration to be meeting with heads of state from all over the world, particularly in the dangerous environment we find ourselves today. Typically, not my area of expertise, and I'd leave that to the folks who, within the State Department, within our Defense Department, and the executive branch at this time.
Yeah, well, I certainly
I do have to run.
All right, you take care. Congressman Jim Jordan, we really appreciate it. From the House Freedom Caucus, always great to talk to you. We'll take a break. 855-40-LAURA. A lot on his plate this week, and more reports on this and this big bombing in St. Petersburg coming up.
The Laura Ingraham Show.